Father God, I thank you so much that you are the God Almighty, that you are the God that is receiving worship from your people all around the world. And Lord, all people from all throughout time are gathered even before your throne now worshiping you. Even if they've passed away, Lord, they are worshiping you in your presence. And God, I thank you that you are such a great God. I thank you, dear Lord, that you are calling people to yourself. And even on this day today, as each hour passes by, as the sun rises on a new part of the earth, Lord, for more than 24 hours, there will be people, your people, that are gathering together to worship you. And yet, Lord, there are so many other people that still don't know you, that still don't know the name of Jesus Christ, that don't know the good news about Jesus. And God, I pray that you would do a mighty work through your church, through the missionaries and pastors, through the different churches all around the world, and also not just for those that have the title missionary and pastor, but for every Christian. Lord, would you mobilize your people into their workplaces, into their homes, into their neighborhoods, and that more and more people may come to know the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you will continue to provide for those that are specifically working for your kingdoms, for the gospel. Lord, those that are going full time. Lord, so we do pray for missionaries like Michelle, for Wesley and Ting Ting. Lord, we pray for John and Evangeline, who's in the U.S. right now. Lord, we pray for Ilvara-san, that's in India, planting a church out there. Lord, we pray for the other church plants that are going on here in Taiwan. Lord, we pray for Wanhua, as we want to see a new church plant there. Lord, we thank you so much for the churches that have been planted and that are growing in Linco and Sanchong. Lord, we pray for all these churches. And God, we pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that as we look to your word now, that you would be the one teaching us through your word, that you would be the one guiding us, Lord, to know and understand what it means for us as your people, not just those people that have the title pastor or missionary, but all of us, how we may be your light, and Lord, how we may see the society changed for your glory. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us now through your word and for your glory and your name's sake. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may have your seats. Can we lower my volume just a little bit? We've been going through a sermon series called A Gospel Changed Society, and we've been going through the book of Colossians. And today we come to the last passage of the book of Colossians. We're going to be finishing it out. And Paul, I think it's lowered a little bit too much. Just a little bit louder. All right. So that's what we've been talking about. And today we're going to come to the last portion of the book of Colossians. And this last portion is a part that in a lot of different letters in the Bible, you'll see all these greetings and all these, like, you know, say hello to this person and hello to that person. And there are all these people that are going to be mentioned. And the question sometimes is like, okay, when I'm reading through this part, do I really need to focus on what's going on here, or can I just skim through it? Paul is just saying hello to a bunch of people that I don't even know. And so sometimes we just kind of ignore this part, or we just kind of go over it really quickly, and we don't really know what's going on when he's actually greeting these people. And so we're going to kind of slow down a little bit and take a closer look at that today. And so today's sermon title is Gospel-Driven Relationships. And as we talked about before, if we want to see a society changed, it starts with individuals who are changed. And then once the individual is changed, perhaps they might go out into their homes, into their workplaces, and then their families are changed, and their workplaces are changed. And then from there, when you see a bunch of these types of people going out into their different workplaces, into their different neighborhoods, sharing about the good news about Jesus, then from there, they go out into their circles. And then perhaps we might see a whole society changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to be kind of looking at one more time today as we talk about gospel-driven relationships. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. If you do have your Bibles with you, we will have it on the screen. But I do want to ask you to open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. And especially because there might be times that I might point to certain Bible passages that I'm not necessarily going to have on the screen. So please open up your Bibles if you have it. If you have one of these blue Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 985. If you want to get one of these, feel free to go outside and grab one of the Bibles. We have a bunch that are out there. You're welcome to do that. And if you have an electronic version on your phone or whatever, you're welcome to open it up there as well. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. This is the reading of God's Word. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, also struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Do you ever wonder what people do on a daily basis? I mean, you know what you do, but do you ever wonder what people in this church around you might be doing on a daily basis? Maybe if a camera, like on a drone or whatever, was following you around 24/7, and we would be able to like see each other's lives and see what actually goes on. Like, you know, maybe some of us might feel very proud about what we're able to share with other people about what's going on in our lives. Maybe some of us will feel very ashamed and we kind of cringe at the idea of a camera recording every part of our lives. But just with that idea, have you ever wondered what goes on with these Colossians and their daily lives? You know, we kind of hear about them through this letter. But then, do you ever wonder what their daily life was like? I mean, we hear all these like wonderful things that are happening in the Bible, but what was their life really like? What was the purpose of their life? What did they think about on a daily basis? Was Paul really constantly thinking about the gospel all the time? Or were there times that he didn't think about the gospel? I don't know. And this might be a little bit crude, but just to make a point, like, what did he think about when he was using the bathroom, right? Again, that's a little bit crude, but, you know, what did people think about? What did they do? What did they live for on a daily basis in Colossae, or those people that were with Paul when he was writing the letter? And so it's kind of interesting to kind of think about this a little bit, and today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into maybe what we know about what was going on in these people's lives. And so as we think about that, we've been talking about how we want to see a society changed. But it starts with the individual that's changed by the gospel, And then how this person might go out and start to share with other people in their family, and we might see families that are changed and workplaces that are changed. And then when that happens, maybe as we see more and more people's lives changed and the people gather together as a church, and then we as a church, we go out into all of our circles, our families, our neighborhoods, our churches, and perhaps a whole society can be changed. But all of that is done through relationships. And so the main idea for today is let our relationships in Christ change our society. The three points that we'll be going through today are change the society, number two, relationships, and number three, in Christ Jesus. And for the last time, maybe we'll do this again in the future, maybe not, but for the last time through this sermon series, why don't we turn to our neighbors and tell them what the main idea is, read it out loud to them, tell them what the three points are, and then the second time you share with them, try to do it without looking at the screen. Choose only one person, because if you're waiting for three people, maybe it'll go too long, okay? So go ahead, find one other person. If you see someone that's not talking to anyone, go to that person. And then tell them these things, all right? Let's do that. All right, I think you guys should be about done. And you guys must be talking about something else right now. We want to talk about let our relationships in Christ change our society. And the first point that we're going to be going through is about changing the society. How do we do that? What does that actually look like? Now, there's a lot of things that could be said here regarding this topic, and I'm not going to talk about everything. I'm just going to talk about what's mentioned in our passage today. But we can talk about how much music can influence the society and how, as Christians, we can promote good music. We can talk about how politics can change society and how Christians can be involved in politics. We could talk about that also. We could talk about how, you know, even just the simple idea of picking up trash off the ground and just helping to care for one another and care for even our environment and how that can help in changing the society and how we want to do that because we want to care for people. We want to care for one another. And so we could talk about that also, but we want to focus today on what the passage talks about. And so as we talk about changing the society, we look at our first verse, and it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. This is the thing that's going to change our society. You know, we might have talked about, we want to do things. We want to go out and be great and be a good light, a witness, and share with people about Jesus Christ. But have we stopped to actually take the time to pray, to actually lift up these people in prayer to the Lord and say, Lord, you're the only one that could change people's hearts. And so, Lord, we look to you and we ask that you would be the one to change these people's hearts as I go out to them and I want to be a witness for you. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. What is this talking about? Just basically what this is saying is be devoted in prayer. Be devoted and be watchful. In other words, be alert. The original idea, the original meaning in the Greek, in the original language, is that we want to be awake. We don't want to be just doing the same old prayers and just kind of just repeating the same old thing as if, you know, that's just because we have to pray and that's it. You know, because we have to pray before a meal or because we have to pray at church and we just kind of go through the emotions. No, here when it says be watchful, it's talking about being awake and being alert and being fervent and being devoted to prayer and saying, I want to pray because I know the challenges that I face as a Christian. I know the temptations that I face as a Christian. And I know that a lot of people out there are going through all kinds of struggles. So I want to go to the Lord and lift up these people in prayer. And you guys might not know this, but as a church, we have our prayer gatherings, and we pray for people that are out there. And we pray for you. We pray for our church. Every Sunday morning, we get together, and we have a prayer meeting at our church office. And we take time to pray, and we pray that the Lord would work in your hearts so that you would hear the word of God and that that would impact your life. And we pray that we would have hearts to worship God as we meet with him. And so again, the way to change the society, there are a lot of things that we can do. But it starts with prayer, devoted prayer, where we are alert and awake and thinking through what is it that we're praying for? Who are we praying for? What is it that people are going through? And we want to be praying in that kind of way. Also, it goes on to say, at the same time, pray also for us. Paul, as he writes to the church in Colossae, he tells them, pray for us that are in Ephesus. Maybe this is where Paul was writing from, or maybe he was writing from Rome. But he says, pray for us that we would be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share it clearly. So that when I share with people, it's not done with all kinds of like fancy rhetoric, with fancy words to try to impress people. Not in that kind of way. But the only thing that he mentions here is to share it clearly with people so that people would understand what we're talking about. You know, not using all these theological terms, but just to say plainly, this is what the gospel is. This is what the good news about Jesus is. And so he says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And he says, this is how I should be speaking all the time, to speak it clearly what the gospel is about. You know, one thing that I'm thankful for is that through our prayer meetings that we've had on Sunday mornings and Tuesday evenings, I hear from different people how they pray for me. They pray that I would preach God's word on Sundays and that the word would go forth and that people would be affected by the preaching of God's word. And so people pray that I would be able to preach God's word to you guys, which I'm so thankful for every time I hear that prayer. But not only that, I pray for you guys. Every single Sunday when I'm done preaching, I sit down and I pray, God, now that I've done the preaching, I pray, Lord, that your word would go forth and bear fruit in the hearts of your people. Just like it says in Isaiah 55, so shall my word, God says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And so I pray every Sunday after I'm done preaching, I pray, God, your word has gone forth and now may it bear fruit in the hearts of your people. And that means that every time you guys come to the church service, how can you be changed? How can we be a part of the change that happens around the world? Well, every time you come in to Sunday service, whether it be at this church or another church, every time you come in, you can come in and sit down and say a prayer right away. You say a prayer, something like, Lord, I'm here, and I look forward to you speaking to me through your word. I want to hear from your word, and I want to know what you have to say to me today. So I look forward to what you will have for me, and I want to learn from you today. So Lord, speak to me. And coming with that type of expectant heart and praying and asking God that he would speak to you. Okay, so I encourage you, every Sunday, come in. And may it be the first thing that you do, that you come in and you sit down and you say a prayer first before you talk to other people. It's okay to talk to other people, but to say that prayer and say, Lord, I'm looking forward to what you will say to me today. Moving forward, how do we also change the society. It's not just through prayer, but also Paul talks about walking, living your life in wisdom and making the best use of your time. And then also watching how you talk to people. Okay, this is what it says. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So what is this talking about? This is basically saying, you know, when it uses the word walk, there's different words that are used for the word walk in Greek. But this particular word is the idea of whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you're doing in your life, do that thing with wisdom. Walk in wisdom, especially towards outsiders, those that aren't believers. Towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. So live your life in a way where you are giving it your all. Last week we looked at a verse that said, work heartily, work with all your heart, work with all your soul, as if you're working for the Lord. In a similar way today, it's do your best to live your life as if you're serving the Lord. You are serving the Lord Christ. That's a phrase that we used last week. You are serving the Lord Christ, and do everything you do to the best of your ability, especially when you are with outsiders, especially when you are with unbelievers. Let them see that you have a purpose of why you're living. Let them see that you're living for something that's good and right. Let them see that you're promoting what's good for humanity. Let them see that. And let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. And sometimes there's a lot of debate about what is salt for and what does it mean in this passage. But I think the basic idea is this. Why do you season something with salt? It's so that you can get some flavor out of it, some taste, and make it taste better, right? So then when you go and you talk to someone, let your words be gracious. You know, there are other churches out there that, not many, but there are some churches out there that go out and say, you are a sinner. You are doing evil. You are all going to hell. Okay, to some degree, in a way, if you try to understand them, maybe there's some truth in it. Okay, but is it seasoned with salt? Is it something that's tasty? Is it something like when you, I don't know about you guys, but I like steak. And when you season it with salt, man, I want more. I want another taste, right? And so when you talk with other people and you're being gracious to them, are you talking in a way so that they say, tell me more. What is it that you're talking about here? I want to know more. So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So thinking through, how do I talk to people in a way so that it's not just me just being whatever, but I want to intentionally talk to people because I want to point them to Christ. But how do I talk about things, whether it be about my work, about my family, about my daily life? How do I share with people so that people might say, tell me more. That's interesting. I want to hear more about that. Again, the way to change the society is through prayer, to live in relationship with God, to continue to have that connection with God, and to also put on the new. We talked about this in a previous week. To continue to live out that life for the Lord. Prayer also, where God's truth would be made known, where we want to see that God's truth continues to go forth, that we would continue to share the gospel with other people. And we want to pray for those people that are doing that even full time. But we also want to pray that for one another. We pray that you guys would go forth and share the gospel with people that are in your workplaces, in your labs, in your neighborhoods. We want to ask the Lord to do that kind of work. We want to live wisely. We want to make the best use of our time. And also, we want to be gracious in how we speak with other people. We want to season it with salt so that people are asking, you know, tell me more about that. And the more we do this as Christians, the more we do that in each of our spheres of life and the spheres of relationships that we have, the more we do this, the more we will see this society changed. We're going to look at a number of examples in our passage today about the relationships that were built up, how it affected different people. And so I want to give all these examples of how a society can actually be changed. And it's not just pastors and missionaries that are going out and sharing the gospel, but it's all different kinds of people with all different kinds of situations that are involved in God's work. And the main purpose of everyone's life that we'll see in this passage, or at least that we hope to see in every person's life, is that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we do, no matter what job we have, no matter where we are in our lives, whether married or single or even divorced, maybe we've lost our parents, maybe we're older now, maybe we have grandchildren, no matter where we are in our lives, that we are serving the Lord Christ. And we're going to see a bunch of examples of that. Okay? So the first name that comes up is this name, Tychicus. Tychicus was the one that delivered the letter. He's the one that went from Paul to the church in Colossae. He was called a minister. And the word minister, it doesn't just mean like a pastor. It's a person that was, another word that could be used to translate it is the word servant. Okay, so he was a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was going to go and share with all the people about what was going on in Paul's life. And he was to encourage them, not just to tell them all these facts, but to actually encourage them. And not only that, he was going with a specific purpose to be a reconciler, to not only deliver this letter, but there is a specific person that he brought along with him. And that specific person is Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave. He was a slave that belonged to a guy named Philemon, or Philemon, however you want to pronounce it. And if you look at the book of Philemon, what you'll find is Paul's letter specifically to Philemon, asking that Philemon, who is the master, how he would receive back Onesimus, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ now. Because Onesimus, after he ran away, he came to know the Lord. He met Paul, and he came to know the Lord, and he was going back now, probably fearful of what Philemon might say or do. But Paul is pleading with Philemon, saying, don't see him as a slave anymore, but see him as a brother. And Paul is promoting the idea of equality. Okay, remember last week we talked about how we can understand master and slave, right? We talked about how that could be equivalent to today's employer and employee. I'm not saying employers are slave drivers. That's not what I'm saying. But the idea is that type of relationship where someone works for another person, to actually see one another as people that can potentially be your brother or sister in Jesus Christ, to actually see them as equal, not just to see all employers or managers as evil, not to see all employees as lazy, right? But to actually see each other with a kind heart and to work at better work relations as Christians. Okay, so you see, there's a change that's happening that Paul is promoting through this specific person, Onesimus. Next, we find a person named Aristarchus. He was a person that we find in Acts chapter 19, verse 29. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. He came to believe through the preaching that Paul did in Ephesus. And when Paul started preaching and then there started to be this riot, Aristarchus was caught. Paul got away, but Aristarchus was caught, and he was beaten. He suffered for the Lord, and then he ended up dedicating his life to be with Paul as a traveling partner and to be a missionary. And so Aristarchus was traveling with Paul, and his idea is not just, I want to change this society where my home is, but I care about people outside of my home. I want to go out and share the gospel in other places with Paul. And so he had this missionary mindset, you know. Maybe some of us here, our lives will be changed by what God does in our hearts. And maybe he places something in your heart that says, you know what, I don't want to just stay here. I want to go to another country. I want to go somewhere else, and I want to be a light in that place, and maybe even become a missionary, join a mission organization, or be sent out through friendship even to become a missionary in that particular place. That might happen to you. And so don't think that maybe this is out of the question, but maybe be open. Even ask the question, Lord, is this what you would have for me? We come to the next person, Mark. Mark is an interesting character because he was the cousin of Barnabas. And what we find when we go through scripture is that Barnabas and Paul, they went on their first missionary journey, and Mark accompanied them. But what ended up happening was that in the middle of the missionary trip, Mark ended up running away and he abandoned them. He deserted them. He ran away. And so he seemed like a traitor. Like, what's wrong with this guy? Right? And then so Paul, on his second missionary journey, he said, you know what? Mark cannot go with us. Mark cannot go with us. And Barnabas is family, right? Barnabas says, no, let's take him. Paul and Barnabas got into such a debate about this that they decided to go separate ways. They actually divided. So then how would Paul look at Mark later on in life? And so what's interesting is that Mark was a person that caused pain. Mark was a person that hurt Paul. Mark was a person that seemed like an unreliable person. But Paul writes in our passage, in our scripture today, Paul writes, I gave you specific instructions about Mark. I want you to welcome him back. And so that's an idea that changes society also. How can you, as a person that was hurt by another person, actually have the mindset that you're going to want to welcome that person? How are you going to actually get over your hurt and your pain so that you can actually say, that person hurt me, but I still want to have a relationship with that person? That is a society-changing type of idea. So that's Mark. There's another guy named Jesus. And this is not the Jesus. This is Jesus who is called Justice. He was a property owner. He had some prime property right next to a synagogue. And so when Paul went to this particular location, I'm forgetting exactly where it is now. I believe it was in Corinth. It was in Corinth. And so Paul went to Corinth and he was sharing the gospel in the synagogue to the Jews that were there. But they kept rejecting him. They kept rejecting him, and he decided, all right, I cannot share the gospel here anymore, and they wanted to drive him out. So they drove him out, and he was thinking, where can I go now? And then so Justice, he invites him over and says, you can come to my house and continue to teach the people at my house. Because he had this property, they were able to continue on. And so this is interesting. Justice is not some guy that seems so spiritual, but he had property. And he allowed for the people to come and use his property for the gospels, for the sake of the gospel. And so this guy, he was probably rich. It was a property that was right next to the synagogue. He probably had a good amount of money, but he used his wealth for the purposes of the Lord. It was also mentioned that he's also part of the circumcision. And so what's interesting is that when you look through all different parts of the New Testament, you begin to see that the party of the circumcision is mentioned very often. And the party of the circumcision, a lot of times in Scripture, are the people that is spoken against. These people are against the gospel. That's what's mentioned. But Paul mentions here, there are still people that seem like our enemies that are still good. There are still these people that we should not look down upon, but we should actually recognize that God is working through these people also. You know, there's a lot of people in the world right now that might be looking down upon people that are dressed like me, right? There's a lot of people that if you saw someone on the streets out here that's dressed like me, it might be me, okay, but there might be other people that are dressed like me that are out there. And what is the first thought that you might have? You know, what is it? Is it, wow, I want to go and talk to this person. You know, God might be able to use this person. God might reveal himself to this person. Or is it, oh, this person is scary. I want to stay away from this person. Paul, as he writes this letter, he is wanting to see society changed, by first helping us to understand there are these people that might seem like enemies. There are these people that might belong to a certain party or a certain country or a certain people group that might seem very different from us, but don't see them that way. There are still people that God is working in amongst those people, and God will bring those people to know the Lord, and God will use those people for His purposes. Let's not have racist eyes. Let's not have such prejudiced eyes. But let's see the potential of people coming to the Lord and really continue to reach out to different kinds of people out there. Epaphras. I mentioned that Epaphras was the one that first heard about the gospel through Paul. And Epaphras went back to Colossae and he began to share. And then the church started in Colossae because of Epaphras going back and sharing with all the people. He was a church planter. Well, he ended up going back to Paul. And, you know, was Epaphras always a church planter? Probably not. We don't know. We don't know what he did in the past because the Bible doesn't mention it. But he was a person that became a church planter. Apparently, he had enough influence to share with a bunch of people in Colossae so that a church was started there. It wasn't because he had all this theological knowledge. It wasn't because he went to seminary. But he just learned the gospel through Paul, went back to his hometown, began to share, and enough people came to believe so that a church was actually started. You don't need to have a seminary degree to actually plant a church. I hear of some people from around the world in places like India, Malaysia, and different places where they say, I have a vision, I have a heart that I want to start. I have a business in this business building, and I want to see a church started in this business building. And so I want to use my little company and use a particular spot where I'm going to start inviting people from the different businesses in this building, and I'm going to invite them to come and join me for a meal, and we're going to look through the Bible together. And so he had this vision of wanting to start a church within a business building, even though he wasn't a pastor, even though he wasn't a missionary. And in a similar way, I've heard of one person from our church that said, I want to start a prayer meeting. I want to start a gathering of just going through the Bible together at AIT, at the American Institute. I want to do that there because this person was part of AIT. It doesn't matter what kind of work you have. There's a potential that you yourself can also be a church planter. And so this person went back to Paul. Epaphras went back to Paul. And then it talks about in our passage today that he became the prayer warrior, constantly praying for the church in Colossae. And not only did he see a church be built up in Colossae, but he also went to Laodicea. He also went to Hierapolis. Oh, I can't say it right now. Hierapolis. And he went there and planted other churches. Maybe he had other connections there. Maybe he was a successful business person in the past where he had businesses in different parts of the world, and he went to those different places and began to share the gospel in all those places as a business person. We don't know because the Bible doesn't say. We just know that he planted a church in Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis. Another person, there's a person named Luke. It just mentions in our passage today that he was a physician, a doctor. Right, but not only that, he was a writer because we know that he wrote the book of Luke that we find in our Bible, and the way that he wrote it was in a very historical, very, very precise manner, and so he must have been a historian of sorts. And so we hear of Luke. You could be a professor, you can be a writer, you could be a physician, you can have any kind of this type of career, and you can have an impact with the gospel. Because he wrote a book. Maybe some of you might write a book one day. What will you write about? You know, I've kind of thought back and forth, should I write a book? I don't know. You know, do I have anything to say? My English sucks. My Chinese sucks more. My Korean sucks more. You know, like, should I write? I don't know. But some of you really have the ability to write. Some of you have already written books. What will you write about? How will you write about it? You don't have to write about Christianity. But do you have Christian ideas in there to help bring about change in this society? Demas. Demas is an interesting guy. Demas is mentioned in this passage. But later on, what we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, is that Demas deserted Paul. Demas deserted Paul, and it's said that he loved the world more. And so he really did desert, it seems like, the gospel. So when Paul is writing Colossians, and he mentions Demas saying hi to the church in Colossae, what's going on there? Well, we don't really know. We just know what happened later on. But maybe, some of these people that end up leaving the church later on, sometimes you're able to see signs. You know, we don't want to judge one another. We don't want to guess, you know, is this person really a Christian or not? We don't want to do that. But sometimes there are these signs. Maybe Paul saw some of those signs. And maybe he just mentioned, and Demas. And there's nothing else there, right? And Demas. But with that kind of idea, there's this idea of, you know what? Maybe there are some people among us here, and maybe there are some people that we meet with that you kind of feel like, this person is kind of hopeless. They're not really growing in the Lord. Or this person will never become a Christian. I don't see them coming to believe. And we might have this kind of idea with some people among us, right? But what Paul demonstrates through his letter is, let me still mention his name. He's still one of us. There's still hope that God might do a work through him. I'm going to have a positive mindset that God will do his will amongst his people. And as long as you're here with us, you are welcome. You are a part of us. We're going to continue to grow together. And if you end up leaving us one day, that's okay. But as long as you're here with us now, we're going to continue to support each other and grow together. You are part of us. There's another person named Nympha. Nympha was a homeowner. And this is the place where the church of Colossae gathered. We don't know how many people were at that church. But Nympha was a homeowner, probably rich. And she was willing, just like the other person, Justice. Also opened up her home for the people to gather together. And you know, like, it's possible that a church is not able to rent their space anymore. What are we going to do then? Are we not going to have a church anymore? Maybe we really need to begin to consider, are we willing to open up our homes to let people come and worship God? What about the idea of community groups? Maybe there are some people in this church that aren't part of community groups yet, but you would love it if you would have a community group meeting at your home. Things like this are possible. You know, anyone can be a part of what God is doing. And there's another person named Archippus. Archippus is interesting because Paul just says, I want you to say to him, almost as if he's not around. Almost as if, you know, like Paul's writing to the church in Colossae and like he's not able to reach Archippus for some reason. Maybe he was a guy that was serving the Lord as a pastor, but he became maybe frustrated or disillusioned. He ended up leaving the ministry. And Paul says, I want you to find him and say to him, fulfill your ministry. And I know that this is coming from the idea of being a part of the ministry, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul also says to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. And so there are some people out there that maybe used to be pastors, but they're not in the ministry anymore. And for whatever reason, they've become discouraged. And they're not in the ministry anymore. And Paul writes to them, Paul writes to that type of person and says, live for the Lord. Don't give up. You are not abandoned just because you're not doing what you thought you were doing for the Lord. Keep going and fulfill the ministry that God has given to you. It may or may not include the title pastor, but God's still going to use you. Keep going. Fulfill your ministry. And finally, there's Paul. Paul that wrote the letter. Paul It doesn't mention it in this passage, but he was a tent maker. He made tents. Maybe he picked up this trade. And this is what he used to survive sometimes when he wasn't supported enough. But this was also a way for him to get to know other people, other tent makers. And this is how his ministry grew as well. He preached the gospel, but he was also in prison. And so there might be people that are in prison that can also be a part of the work of God. Why am I mentioning all these people? Why does Paul mention all these people? The thing that I want to mention is that all of these are people that Paul mentioned in his letter. These are all people that Paul grew in relationship with. These relationships are important, and not everyone was a pastor, not everyone was a missionary. There were people from all different trades, all different backgrounds, and they all had one goal together. We are going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. With whatever occupation we have, with whatever opportunities we have, with whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm at, we want to serve the Lord. And Paul mentions all of these people and gives us a glimpse of what these people were doing on a daily basis. So what about you? What are you doing? With your life, are you serving the Lord Christ? Do you have in mind how you can go out and continue to share the gospel? How you can do your best to live wisely, to live with prayer, and to go out and be a light for God's kingdom? Are you thinking about how you can even use your occupation as an opportunity to go out and share the gospel with others in your workplace? Or maybe there might be these community gatherings in your neighborhood that you don't know about, but maybe you've seen your other neighbors are a part of, and maybe you can go and join that. And for some of us, we can use that as an opportunity to improve our Chinese and go out and meet other people and think about how can I be a light where I'm at right now. So what about you? Fill in these blanks here. What is your occupation? What is it that you're doing? And what is the purpose of your life? Is it aligned with serving the Lord, or is it just about what you want to do? Is it about, I'm here in Taiwan for a limited amount of time, and I want to use this time to live for the Lord? Or is it that I'm just here because I just need to study, and that's my only goal? Or I'm here because I'm supposed to work here, and that's my only goal. What is it that colors your life? What is it that defines who you are and what you're doing in this world? The thing is that sometimes when we think about these things, and we even think about this idea of like, can we really change a society? Can we really bring about change in our families and in our neighborhoods? It sounds like such a big task, and it sounds a little bit discouraging sometimes. So how do we do this? Well, let's remember that the only one that can really bring about change is not us. We just get to participate in it. The one that's really bringing about change is Jesus Christ. And so again, we want to let our relationships in Christ, change our society. And this is where we come to our last point, in Jesus Christ. It's interesting because Paul says at the very end, he finishes the letter and it just seems like just a closing and that's it. Let's think about what he's saying here. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Remember why I'm writing this letter to you. Remember why I'm in prison. And may grace be with you. The thing that we're saying here is that it's only by God's grace that we're able to change a society. And it's only by God's grace that our families can be changed. And it's only by God's grace that we as individuals, that we're able to put off the old and put on the new. It's only by God's grace that we're going to be able to be changed so that we're actually living lives that follow the truth. It's only by God's grace that we're going to be able to identify the false gospel and to say, I don't want to follow that anymore. I want to live for the Lord. It's only by God's grace that we come to understand what even the truth is. It's by God's grace that we understand that we are sinners and that we need Jesus in our lives. It's only by God's grace that we understand that our God, who created heaven and earth, that has power over all things, power enough to change any person. It's only by God's grace that this powerful God is working in our lives and in our families and in our society. And if you don't know what I'm doing right now, I'm going from the end of Colossians and going through all the content all the way back to the very beginning of the book of Colossians. And this is what Paul says in the very beginning. To the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. May the Lord remind you and remind you and remind you that it's only by what He's done that you can sit here today to enjoy the presence of the brothers and sisters in Christ here, that you're able to enjoy the relationships that we have here. It's only by God's grace, His kindness, and His love that you can get a glimpse of His love and joy and peace in the Lord. And with that motivation, let's go out and change this world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful ways that you work in our lives. Thank you that you yourself are the great and powerful God. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would continue to work in our lives, that we would see that everything that we have is given to us, and we are fully equipped already with what you have given to us to be able to be your light, to be able to be that salt for others. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would live our lives to serve you as we say that we are serving the Lord, our Master, Jesus Christ. I pray this in His powerful name. Amen.